Sunday. Sci-Fi sighted the microphone for the green light to the speed trap. Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
All right, and let me tell you something, folks. You've tuned into Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show where you can hear two disturbed car guys vent their feelings. And let me, today's theme, here's my theme for today.
Go ahead.
In life, we learn many lessons. In car life, mostly because we're stunad, we learn those lessons the hard way.
You're eating fortune cookies again. What are you doing?
Oh, yeah. It's even yellow paper. The lesson on Motormouth Radio is don't use zip ties to fix an exhaust system. I will elaborate a little more on that as we get into the show. But first, let me introduce to you the man who could probably only, the only man I know who'll get away with using zip ties on exhaust systems, Mr. Chris Switzer. How are you, Chris?
Hiya, Ray. I'll tell you the truth. Oh, and by the way, our fine host of the program, Ray Guarino, here with us.
Yeah, that's me. That isn't coming in, right?
I am truly beaten up this week as well. I am. Yeah. I woke up this morning. My back hurts. My feet hurt. I got a pain in my head.
Yeah.
I am just beaten up. Do you want to know why? You got a minute. You want to know why?
Tell me, please.
I sent out two broken clocks.
Oh, okay.
To the clockworks.
Right.
In Wisconsin.
Okay.
And I got one clock, one working clock back, which was great. Sent them a little money, got the clock back. I'm all happy. I'm going to go put the clock in the car. Now, Chrysler products, you know how I love to talk about this. In the old days, when I had a 63 Cadillac, and if I had to take the clock out of the car, you went right on the dash because it protruded out on this chrome pod, and you grabbed hold of the clock with your hand, and you turned it counterclockwise, and it would pop out. You unplugged it, and in a matter of waiting for a traffic light, you had the clock in your hand for ready service.
Right.
Not like Chrysler's. Thank you very much. No, because the clock is up in the dash one way, or because you can't get it from the top of the dash, and you can't pull the dash pad off. That's impossible. And everything in there is plastic and 50 years old, and anything you remove is going to snap in half. So I thought the best thing to do was get at it from the bottom. So I had to get in the prone position, Ray. You know the prone position.
I know
Joe D knows the prone position very well, like he talks about. You always talk about stuffing him up in the dash. Well, yes. So, of course, I get on the driver's seat, spin around, and now I dip my head back because that's where the head is going under the steering wheel. So that puts the feet in the air over the seat. And now you got your the transmission hump is now in your kidneys, and you get a rug burn over there. And I know I'm in the right position because the edge of the brake pad, your brake pedal, the edge of it, that chrome edge, is embedded in my temple.
Nice.
Now I'm in the right spot.
Now you know you're in the right spot.
Now I gotta find the screwdriver. I gotta find the light.
And it rolls under your back.
Oh yeah. Oh, and you can't twist. You can't. One hand is up, the other hand is down. And of course, midway through this fracas, my hand cramps up. So I'm like, it's like eating this contorted thing, and then I'm like, gah! It's like one of these, you know, Italian cursed hand gestures. I'm like, ah!
That looks more Haitian to me. I don't know.
Bending the fingers back. Wow. Ah, terrible. So it was just that alone was a recipe for disaster, and I realized how
old
I did get the plate off. I had to get the plate off that, you know, the fake plate. That reminds that cheap bum that bought this car new. It's like a little star or something, something so stupid and useless that's there in place of the clock. It's that clock face.
Yeah.
I had to get that off. So, nice. And of course, just a sideline, whomever owned this car put a piece of double stick tape there because they must have had a picture of their wife or kids or dog or whatever have you. Well, that double stick tape, of course, turns into goo and then distorts the plastic there. So this piece is now useless. So, because no one in their right mind is going to put this thing in a car. So, and now I got to get the clock in there. Yeah. Now, of course, you're taking the piece of plastic plate out through the wires, the wire harnesses and all the magilla that's under there. So now I got to get this, basically the size of a Spalding, I have to get that up in there. Square Spalding, I should say. So the funny thing is, I was thinking about this, and I'm kind of pushing this thing in and around the wires, and of course you got the stem that sets the clock, and you got the little tang in the back that you're going to plug into eventually. And it's like reverse childbirth. Yeah. It's like pushing the baby back in. That's what it's like. And I'm trying to feed this thing while I'm doing this with my back on the carpet, with my feet in the air, and I've come to realize you don't do this job with your mouth open.
Oh boy, yeah.
Don't do the job with your mouth open.
Don't ask me how I know that. Yeah.
So here's the funny thing. I finally get the clock in there, but it's not sitting right. I'm like, why isn't this thing sitting right? So I had to feed it back out again. And this is where I find I have to think like my longtime radio colleague. What can I do? How can I imagine in my head the back of the speedometer and the gauge cluster when I can't see it?
Yeah.
I'm like, I have that magical thing called extra parts. Oh. And I run over to the other two instrument clusters that I have sitting on the shelf.
Perfect. Yeah.
And of course, one of them, Chrysler in their wit and wisdom must have done running changes on their vehicles throughout the year, because one instrument cluster, it wouldn't fit in at all. There were these two tangs that were sticking up on the box of the clock that wouldn't allow it to fit right. The other instrument cluster had spaces for those little tangs. It fit perfect.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh, what's going on here? So I get back under the car, get the brake pedal in my temple, and I'm looking up there with the light. I did not see those two little slits for those two little tangs that are presently on the clock I'm trying to feed in there. So I had to bend them out of the way because I didn't want to cut them. So I just bent them back and fit them in there, and now the clock is now in. Two out of the three screws are in, because at that moment, that's when literally at 4:30, the lights go out. I'm wondering why I can't see anymore, because it's getting dark.
Yeah.
And of course, you get called into dinner, and then life goes on. So, but it's there. It's in there. I don't know if it works yet, but I've come to realize that we used to allot a certain amount of time to do a simple job.
Yeah.
Now that we're older, that time is now gotten longer.
Yeah.
To do simple jobs. I thought this was an hour job. It literally took most of the afternoon.
But, you know, the good thing about that, too, Chris, is in the past, we drove our cars. We had drivers that,
sure.
You know, if you had wires hanging down, you had to tape them up because you'd be driving it that night.
Sure.
Now it's nice. That car's relegated to the garage. And if you don't get done with it, it can sit and you can pick up the next day. So
yes,
we've been afforded that. But I have to say, there was one thought that I had that was overpowering, and I know the moment's passed, but I got to revive it. When we were
talking about
the mask card on the dash, I mean, all I can say is I don't care if it raids or freezes. Long as I got my plastic Jesus sitting on the dashboard of my car.
Because
I can go 100 miles an hour.
As long as
I got the almighty power.
Looking up there by
my pair of fuzzy dice. Thank you, Don Himes. Oh, yeah. What am I? The Reverend Billy Saul Hargis.
That's it. And if you want to be saved, you can call us 516-256-9510. That's the phone number. That we could sing it to you.
we've done that. And I know we have last week's guest. We have Chassie John down in Florida. He's working in that garage today at our Firebird, pulling it apart. Uh-huh. But, I hope other guys are out there doing the same thing. But I want to tell you something. Here's something that's topical for now. It's starting December 1st. Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah. That's when all they always wait till the beginning of the month to start all the new taxes and crazy stuff.
Right.
This is something that won't affect you anymore, Chris. But the one way toll on the Verrazano Bridge, which we also call the sort of a gangplank,
the guinea type.
Yeah, it's going to be halved.
Yeah. Right. They're going to. I've already heard like a little bit of friction about this.
Yeah, they're halving the toll, but don't get excited because now it's going to become a two-way toll. So
right.
What happened is you would pay the toll one way, but you wouldn't pay it coming back.
Right.
So that led to people doing what was called bridge shopping or bridge hopping, where you would go through the tunnels and bridges that were free, and you could make that trip without paying for it.
Yes. I mean,
it took a lot more.
Can you do that on Staten Island? I don't think you can do it there. You have to pay something.
I guess you got the gothels. But
yeah, well, and Staten Island, in their wit and wisdom, they always want you to pay when you leave.
Yeah, yeah. The exit toll.
Let it go. Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to get off. Here, take all my money. I want to leave here.
You figure you'd be happy to do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, this change comes 34 years after Congress passed the law eliminating toll booths on the Staten Island side of the bridge, which made residents of the borough super angry because they were sick of the long lines of cars and honking horns because of the delays at the toll booths.
Yes.
There was a first-term congressman now, Max Rose. He's a Democrat from Staten Island, who sponsored the bill now for this tolling change. So we'll see. That was a bright idea. We'll see how it works. Mm-hmm. But December 1st, there you go.
I have a very good friend of mine that used to work as a toll collector. And it's so funny because we were just talking about this week, my wife and I, and she asked me, how hard is it to be a toll collector? And I went, oh,
yeah.
How hard is it? He would tell me he would actually have a way of accepting the money.
Really?
Just by watching people pull up to the toll plaza with the money in their hand. This was before Easy Pass, mind you. He said that if they held the coins out almost like a knife, they held it out that way, he would have to turn his hand and keep the palm away from the transaction. He would grab the money with his fingers because he said that when those quarters would come into his palm, like bang, and this happened repeatedly for an eight-hour shift, constantly. Since your hand is ready to fall off.
Something I would never think of.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, wow, same thing. I'm like, I never thought of that.
Right.
So yeah, just those things alone. That, and he says guys would launch out and create a lot of smoke and exhaust. He said he'd have to breathe that in.
Oh,
those were the normal things that, you know, guys like you and I did constantly.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, but I used to pull up to the toll plaza at the VZ. I would pull up there and look for him.
Oh, yeah.
You'd know him. You know him. It's Tony Jockey. You know him. You've talked to him on the phone. And I'd look for him. I'd scour. Now, how hard is that? And sometimes I found him.
That's
sometimes
good.
I'd be like, hey, you get the big hello.
Mm-hmm. Hey, something else that I've been actually warning the drivers in my house, you know, my wife, my kids, I've been warning them about it because I'm very cognizant of it ever since it happened to me like 43 years ago. it was, and it was this time of year that I always remember this. It was weather just like this, where we've had a lot of rain and wind, which brought the leaves down, and now we have wet leaves.
Oh, yeah.
And my buddy Tom, I remember he pulled up to the house at the time. I was living at home, and guy, the Nomad that he was driving, you know, the black one, and went to just saunter up the walk to the steps and just hit the wet leaves, and boom, and he flat on the back. But it was also me who was going down. I was in Oceanside, Baldwin Harbor, windy street. I was going to where some girls that we knew lived. I was going to go hang out, driving my 65 Chevy, right. And I kind of fishtailed a little on the wet leaves on the street in the evening, and I wasn't worried. There was no traffic, so yeah, I fishtailed, ride it out, but it went a little too far in the back of my car. Boom, I hit a tree with the quarter panel of the car. Right. And bounced off it, and I was so, and I heard a noise, this boom, didn't know what it was, but I was so concerned that the homeowner was going to come out and yell at me for hitting his tree.
Right.
I got out of there, and with this dragging, this grinding noise behind me, I'm like, what the heck did I do? I don't even know. I went about a block down the road, yeah, got out and inspected, and found out I was dragging my gas tank by the hose, the 3/8 hose, the strap broke. And the only thing that saved my sorry ass was that I was on wet leaves. So it was insulated from the pavement.
From the sparking.
And there was not even a puff of ignition. I mean, there was not even a... But now I'm like, oh, God, now what do I do? Now I got to, like, get my car out of here, and I can't drive it like this. I had the brains to know that.
Right.
Actually, what I had to do is I had to get a hold of Tom. Now, this is way... I mean, we're talking... This was like the 70s, way before cell phones. Sure. So I had to go get a hold of Tom somehow, who worked at a station, ask him if he could. He had to go to the station, get the tow truck, come and meet me. He knew where I was because we all hung out in the same areas, and,
right,
and tow the car out of there so I could repair it. So I survived that one. But, you know, the wet leaves are a total danger. Total
danger. Wow. Yeah, to have an experience of saving yourself with wet leaves, or at least not falling into the dangers of sparks because of wet leaves,
yeah,
that alone is just perfect. Wow. No, I think I've told you, it's a story I always tell about driving a car home on fire, but it had nothing to do with wet leaves, that's for sure.
Right. Yeah. So. Yeah, it's the stuff we did back then. That's just what we did. It was, you know, our I still have that in me. I mean, when you, after your hand touched my Fiat and it lit on fire on the way home one day because of a wire that you had finagled and exploded burning, I was like, I'm an exit. Now, this is only a few years ago. I'm an exit from home. It's like, you know what? I don't want to stop on the parkway and have to leave the car here. Let me get it home. And I got it off the exit ramp. I said, I'll keep the wind going enough so it'll maybe divert the flames. And I got it in front of my house, opened the hood. What happened? I was able to fix it.
You have it with you.
Yeah.
You're able to reach up.
Yeah,
and grab it.
Yes,
yeah, I don't know what I did. I just pushed it out of the way. That was it.
Yeah.
I don't know what I
ground, and it went for poof. But anyway, what are you going to do? So that was fun. But yeah, 516-256-9510 if you want to get in on this. Hey, I want to make a mention. We're going to have a friend call us in the next couple of weeks. There's a show. I had to print this. I printed it big so I could read it.
Yes.
This is on our website. We have this listed on our site, and people have gotten this as updates if they've subscribed.
What is our site, Ray?
MotormouthRadio.com. And, of course, Motormouth Radio is the same name on Twitter and Facebook. And on Instagram, it's Joe's favorite. It's real_ Motormouth Radio. But this is a cruise-through holiday toy drive. The Marine Corps Toys for Tots, sponsored by them. And also Supervisor Joe Saladino of the town of Oyster Bay.
Okay.
Our good friend Ed Muro, who did the car shows, helped with the car shows at the county.
Yes. Good.
Is in on this. And cool. It's Saturday, December 5th. So it's from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at John Burns Park in Massapequa. And you drive through. It's a touchless thing. You're going to drive through and drop off your toy and gifts and whatever. And, again, there's a flyer on our website, motormouthradio.com, if you want to see it for yourself in all of its color. And And we'll probably, I'll see if I can get Ed to do a call in over the next few weeks and just mention on that.
It would be nice to talk to him again.
Yeah.
It's funny because because of the school situation and our pandemic situation, the schools are closed up here. And kids are now going to be doing home learning. So it's my job, since Dawn is handling the teaching aspect duties, it's my job to go and get the lunch. They actually give out lunches. And we thought that's a great idea. So I take the Chrysler to go and get the lunch. And right. It's like I create a crowd in front of the school when I have it. So let's go to the phones and go to the fun and say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Hi, Vic.
What's up, Vic?
Yeah, same old, same old. Yeah, you're talking about toll booth operators.
Yeah.
Years back, my cousin worked for Knickerbocker Liquor Distributor.
Can you say that three times fast? Big.
Jesus, Knickerbocker Liquor.
Yeah, right. Knickerbocker Liquor, Knickerbocker Liquor.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And tractor trailers would always go through the same booth on the Frog's Neck.
Right.
And one night, the toll booth operator realized it wasn't the right driver and called the police in. And so they had stolen the tractor trailer of liquor.
Right.
And Knickerbocker gave the toll booth operator $1,000.
Wow.
Because he called it in. Wow.
Look at that.
40-foot tractor trailer loaded with liquor.
Yes.
Sweet.
Yep.
Holy smokes.
Yep. Wow. Now I'll give you another one that's not too great, but I knew some of my friends are not the nicest people in the world, and they take a dime and put it into the cigarette lighter and hand it to the toll booth operator with a glove on.
Oh, come on.
Oh, wow. That's
holy smokes. That's a scream.
Well,
it's funny because I actually had a friend of mine. I was in the car with them and we were arguing and she pulled into the toll plaza to hand the man the money and she thought she was in a hopper. She just like, you know, remember in the old days they had like a hopper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you just throw the money into the hopper, and she threw the change and hit him square in the chest with it.
Oh,
it all fell all over the place, and then she drove off. And I'm like, funny. Do you know what you just did?
And he went over and told
the
story
about
with
the hoppers, the guys used to put rags in them now and then.
Oh, yeah.
You'd throw the money in it, and you'd keep going. You wouldn't care. And then they got beer money.
Oh!
They were skimming the toll, yeah. I was going to say, the woman affected Chris Ply went home and said, you know, I had the woman was like had the meanest streak in the world. She must have been ticked at somebody. Boy, she got on me today. She must have thought I was her ex-husband.
She was so interested in making her point. That's how she went through the toll plaza.
I always liked the hopper.
Yeah.
I liked sometimes, you know, now sometimes I do
it
one coin at a time.
Sometimes, I used to do it.
All at once, you know, sometimes you go cross different ways. You had fun with it, right?
Yeah, one coin at a time. And sometimes you trip the mechanism and it would go up.
The gate
would go up and you go through.
Yeah. A couple of weeks ago when you went to look at that rear end, did you go see Bruno?
No.
Bruno in Hicksville?
He's in Hicksville. Yeah, we went with Muscle Car Ray, and it's a guy that he knows for a long time. This gentleman's like 84 years old.
That's Bruno.
Is it Bruno? I'm trying to remember because, you know, now it's been weeks, so my memory is faded. I remembered his last name for about a week because I saw it on the side of the car. He's been racing Buicks for years. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
I guess
had like a 64, 65 Buick.
You know, I didn't
see it. Down at his kid's house.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I know he has a, like a 60, the second gen, like a 68, 69, or 70, something like that, that he was very competitive with. And he's got a bunch of stuff, you know, a whole slew of stuff. Yeah, really nice guy. Nice man. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a barber.
Oh, good. I could use him. I could use a head.
That was Bruno the barber. Yep. He had a Grand National, got stolen from in front of his barber shop years and years back.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Never found it.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah. So, going to do a little bit more work on the 46 now. A little bit.
Is it going good?
Body man's working on it now.
Oh.
Coming along.
Nice.
And it's just that it, after sitting so long, I lost a few parts, and that's about $500-$600 I got to spend on parts now.
That always happens to you, Vic. That always happens to you. You know, that's kind of like the bane of your existence.
You got to incorporate it.
Well, I put the parts in a safe place.
Yeah, I know, right.
Yeah, and they're in a safe place. You just can't remember where they are.
Right.
That's right, because there's probably about 30 other parts safe on top of them.
On top of them, right, exactly. You got to look for something else. You'll be looking for something else one day, and then you'll say, oh, here's what I was
looking for. Yes, always.
That's how I do it. That's how I find them.
Start looking for parts from another car.
Literally happened. I found another 600 CFM Edelbrock I didn't know I had in a box, and a brand new Holley fuel pump I didn't know I had. Ah,
very good.
So you could sell those on eBay and get the money back to buy the parts you lost.
No, the carburetor goes over to Ray's garage.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah.
Carburetor Ray.
So it was good for me, but bad for him. So.
Right. That's where they go to die.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect.
Exactly, you know. Yeah, I know it's the bottom of the hour. You got to do your stuff. So
yeah.
I'll talk to you guys later on.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Vic. Bye-bye. 516-256-9510. Knickerbocker liquor, Knickerbocker liquor,
yeah.
Knickerbocker.
You know, to make sure I dot the I's and cross the T's on something that I teased, which I teased last week and didn't get back to, the zip tie exhaust.
Yeah.
I heard a noise under the car again. Well, I've been in and out of Queens again, so the roads there are not as pristine as the asphalt jungle that I live in. So I said, you know, I got a funny feeling about something. And I came home one day in the afternoon, rolled under the car while it was nice, and rain was projected again for the next day. So I had like this window, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, I didn't have the time to take it to the shop and use the lift. So I said, I'll just do it at home. I roll under and I said, yep, one zip tie broke and the whole thing had shifted. It needed more strength than what I had provided. So
plumber strap.
Well, yeah. Now, I said, you know what? Let me go to plan B. And one of the things we agreed on was to take that. Again, the problem was the whatever you call it, the post that's welded
hanger.
To the muffler, the hanger post that goes through the rubber hanger bushing should have been bent at a 90.
Right.
So it wouldn't come out of the rubber. But the guy.
But you can't bend it at a 90 while it's on the car.
Exactly. And so it was the guy who did the exhaust missed this one. I guess he figured it wouldn't move around, and he just had a straight rod, which walks out. So that's why I zip tied that to hold it in. Didn't work. So I said, last time we talked, I said, hey, you know, I could probably put a washer over it and just weld the washer to the rod. And that's what I decided to do. So I drag out the MIG welder, get everything together, jack it up, get my light, get all my stuff together. And I'm MIGing it, and I'm like, man, this is like the worst weld I've ever seen. Like, I know I could tack weld better than this. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it was, you know, it's the law of averages in any garage. MIG welder really needs argon gas to work well, and mine was down to a depleted level, so I was running on just MIG wire.
Oh, no way.
The ugliest welds in the world, because there's no shielded gas.
Yeah, I know. It's an arc welder, basically. That's what it's turned into, right? So
I posted those pictures on the formats. They're on Twitter, Instagram, and on Facebook. So you can see them. You can see the...
I was going to say, don't tell me you did a weld like one of my welds.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's one of my welds.
I just kept heaping it on. Literally, just keep. I just figured, let me just keep heaping on enough, and it should be enough to hold.
That is the blob of welding. Oh, my gosh.
So far, it is holding. So
it looks like a gray brain.
It's like a rosette. Yeah, it's just, it's really.
On top of a washer, yeah. Oh, I've done welds like that many times. That's average for me. That's actually pretty good in my caliber.
It's like a bowl of, and there's the
old bowl of gray oatmeal.
That's the old Snap-on MIG welder that needs gas.
Wow.
Yeah. So
gotta get you some gaze.
But it was a beautiful day, and that's if you back up there. If there was always
yes, our internet know-it-all is showing off the pictures.
See, there's the 90. That's what it should look like. That's the one that's at the actual muffler. That's how it should be
bent down at a 90. Yes,
that's what they did not do on the repair, and that's so. Anyway,
wow.
So, and of course, after I did that, put the car together, and at night, the rain came back, and I hit the window of opportunity. there's a straight rod, and everything was fine. So, so we're up to the bottom of the hour. Let's take a break. We'll take care of a little business. But, Chris, do you have an honor group of the hour for us today?
It's funny you should ask that, Ray Ray. Of course I do. The Motormouth Radio honor group of the hour this week are front end aligners. That's right. Here's to the bold men and women who are on the front lines constantly explaining, why is my steering noisy? Why are my tires squealing? Why is my car aiming for guardrails? Why is the steering wheel crooked when I'm driving straight? If you had to answer these and other painfully obvious questions, then you are a front-end aligner and are part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour.
So cool. Very good. Very good. And with that, we will take a bottom of the hour break. We'll play a couple spots, take care of some business, and we'll come back fresh and freshened and fluffed after our because we have fluffers that come in and take care of us on the break. You know,
they take care of our front end.
Right. They sent the rear end fluffer once. I said, no. Then the other one back. Yeah, forget that. All right. So, without any ado, we will do that. And we'll be back in a few minutes on 90.3 WHPC.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
It's a call-studded program. We do have another caller on the line. Caller, identify yourself.
Anthony, I called those guys with the cars one time.
Oh, nice, the Motormouth guys.
Oh, yeah, those good old boys.
There you are. Anthony, where are you calling from?
I'm in Freeport. Yeah, this morning I miss it. My boss was, every time I turn it on, he turns it off. I say, whoa. Yo, be bad, but I'm here. I give him a karate chop.
That's right.
Give him a karate chop.
Give him an F5. Love it.
Man, dude.
It's a pleasure, bro. Take it easy.
That was amazing.
My favorite caller.
Of all time.
Maybe all time. I have heard him with the Motormouth guys. That's why I recognize them a little.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
All right, we're back. Motormouth Radio, Long Island is only, Long Island's only automotive talk show with your host.
You're smiling when you say that, you know.
Yes, Ray Guarino with Chris Switzer. We are back with more fun and merriment. And we're going to put a shout out. I know our good friend Glenn is out there today with Camaro Glenn. So Glenn should call us because I've been meaning to get in touch with him, and damn, I haven't done it. So good old friend.
Because we always get personal business done on the radio program.
If you can't do it off air, we'll do it on air. we're not too proud to beg, you know.
It keeps us smiling, that's for sure.
Yes. Yeah, Glenn, if you got a minute, give us a buzz and we'd be happy to talk to you. Hey Chris, one of your favorites this week. In 1975, one of my favorites. I was working at the auto parts store back then.
Yeah, those platform shoes.
Yeah, that's right. But more importantly, the ore hauling ship, the SS Edmunds Fitzgerald, went down in Lake Superior.
Really?
And, of course, 29 sailors perished who were still down there. And it's one of our favorite songs came from that. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
The Wreck of the Edmunds Fitzgerald by Gordon Lightfoot, which came out in 1976. So he worked fast at getting that song out. You know, yeah. I mean, stuff sometimes takes a lot longer than that. But I knew you'd be happy to hear about the Wreck of the Edmunds Fitzgerald. Almost as happy you should be here about, like, MacArthur Park. I know, but I know you love that one too. But I have, that song takes me back to being at the parts counter at the parts store, flipping catalog pages, and that song was on heavy rotation at the time. And
it was.
I still like it to this day.
Sure was. That was. How many other songs can you equate to something you did automotively? Can you think of any?
Oh, probably songs? Many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple, and one of them is, and I have to maybe be painfully obvious here, is like Ventura Highway.
Okay.
By America. I literally, and that's what I think of. It's one of those times. I just think of like driving at night. Or just on a long highway, just on a long road, I should say, and just hearing that guitar riff is, to me, it's timeless. It's timeless. I don't care. Like, I think of youth, obviously,
right?
But it still makes me feel good when I hear something like that.
I have many, many. Like, I can remember when I bought like the Eagles Hotel California on 8-track, and I just and I have a vision. I remember driving at the Green Acres Theater at the time. Like, we were going to go see a movie, and I was listening to... I remember when I got, you know, Frank Zappa's Chic Your Booty. That was another one. Joe's Garage. Sure. You know, I remember all these... I mean, my list goes on forever because...
Yours does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Over and over and over again.
But I must admit, when I used to play MacArthur Park, I'd have to get up off the chair and get out of the studio.
Oh, if you did it as a radio jock, yeah.
Yes, and I have.
Yeah.
All right, Richard Harris, MacArthur Park. Right here on W whatever, blah, 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 blah. I'm out of here.
You know, I'll tell you something. I was house apartment sitting in Queens one day last week, and what I did is, I was doing some house cleaning, taking some stuff, but I had to take the stereo that was in there out. I was, you know, cleaning things out. I said, I need some noise. I need music or something. Sure. So I went to the TV and I said, oh, there's always music channels on the TV.
Yeah.
So I found on that network there was rock hits. And I found it like, you know, classic rock was, whoever is programming these stations is so out of touch with what they're doing. Because
why is that?
Okay. There was the station that was rock hits. So, yes. I mean, you know, you can think of the Stones, you can think of Zeppelin. You can think
yeah.
of, well, no. They played a song by Seven Mary Three, Cumbersome. Great song, but it's from the 90s. Then, yeah. then they played Slipknot. Psychosocial, another song from the 90s. That's a rock hit. So I went to the next channel down. It was just called Rock. Okay. Maybe you get the Beatles. Maybe you still get the Stones. You know, maybe, you know, you can get a number of things. First song, the Blue Stones played Let It Ride. Who the hell are the Blue Stones? The Rolling Stones on a bad night? I don't know. Then they had a song by, Aaron Jones, Take Me Away. I don't know who this guy is. I never heard of him. He's on the rock channel.
Wow.
I went one more. I said, okay. Here we go. Solid Gold Oldies.
Okay.
I'm thinking In the Still of the Night. I'm thinking.
Right. That, doo-wop.
Cadillac, something. No, how about the Fifth Dimension, Stone Soul Picnic? Or how about the Temptations, My Girl, on Solid Gold Oldies? And then I said, God, I really am that demographic. I'm that old that to me these songs were not that old. I'm like,
oh. Yes. Oh, yeah. When we were kids, you got in the car and you hit the button on the radio, there was always that one station that played, at the time when we were kids, it was like Mantovani and the Strings.
Oh, yeah.
It was that dentist music. We used to have, I think it was VMJ, I think it was, the station here in New York. It was WVMJ.
WPAT.
There was PAT in Patterson, yes. And those were the stations that played all of the dentist music. You heard all of those instrumentals and the orchestrationals and maybe like there used to be WNEW. 1130 in New York. WNEW 1130 in New York. Right. They used to play like Pat Boone, Stephen Eady, Frank Sinatra, Sammy right. Davis Jr. They used to play those. Those were the stations for the old people when we were kids. Right? Those are the old people stations. Now we are that demographic, but the old people music has changed. Old people music is Stone Soul Picnic.
I know.
Is the Temptations.
My girl.
It's all old Motown. That's all. And we have our old people station in Long Island. What is it?
WHLI.
HLI.
On AM radio.
Exactly.
So let me share a story.
And we listen to it regularly. We're old.
The other night, my younger daughter and I, we were in charge of, we had to make dinner for ourselves. So we were in the kitchen working, and I said, hey, I'll put some music on. And I put on a CD. It's got about 35 songs on it. It's a Dean Martin, Best of Dean Martin CD.
Okay, cool.
And she recognized it. She goes, where have I heard this before? I'm like, if you remember, I said, when I was driving you to high school to drop you off, she was taking an Italian lesson. She took like 8 years of Italian. So I was playing music for her that was sung in Italian. So who better than Dean Martin, right?
Of course.
So we made a stir-fry dinner out of we literally went with scraps. We went with whatever we had and just threw it together. So
good
we
stuff.
Made a stir-fry dinner out of scraps. It was an Asian dinner. We were listening to Italian music, and then she made margaritas. So we had Mexican booze. So that was what? It was a perfect bonding moment, and we had a great time. And
that's awesome.
It was. So then we were, I was explaining to her the Rat Pack, because we talked about this all before, but I know a lot of it doesn't sink in. So I was actually watching, what the hell's the name of it with Sinatra and Rat Pack?
Robin and the Seven Hoods.
Robin and the Seven Hoods was on yesterday, yes.
Yes.
So I started showing her who was who. I said, look, there's Dean Martin. I said, he's the guy we were listening to. She goes, oh, yeah. I said, he just sang a song. As he's shooting pool, he's singing his song. Yeah, it was kind of cool.
Like we all do.
Yeah. I said, that was the de rigueur of the day. That was the stuff. But I like that because now I got to, just like I like to work with younger guys and pass down car knowledge,
right,
and pool knowledge. I like to do that with my kids, pass down some music knowledge. Like, this is why I listen to this. This is why I like this. And, open up your mind. And now I'm sure she'll, probably at my funeral, she'll play Dean Martin, which would be cool.
Right, because she'll equate all that as old people music, and it will be dismissed accordingly.
That'll be fun. But when you come in, when you come into the room and you smell all the flowers and you hear like Avidao, you hear like, she'll probably listen to like, I don't know. There's a couple that she really likes. Sway, he covered Sway. That was a good one.
Right.
Remember this moment.
Mm-hmm. Right, a little Prego Scusi. What's that other one he does?
Exactly.
Oh, I can't think of it.
That's another one that was on it. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And they were car guys. You know, it's so funny.
He had a lot of Barris stuff.
Yeah. And I know they were big fans of dual gears.
That's Sinatra again, the dual gear. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Dean Martin bought one because Sinatra had one.
Exactly. Dean Martin bought a 62 dual gear and sold it to Lucille Ball's husband. I can't think of his name.
Is he on now?
No, another one. Next one. Not after.
Oh, yeah. Who's after Desi? After that. Right.
Gary Morton, I think it was. Okay. Well, anyway. And like the car literally sat in the garage. It's actually supposed to be in pristine condition. But it was, they call it the Dean Martin gear. But right. there's a convertible that Sinatra had that's stunning, a DG. And just because it's so funny, when they owned them, I know I was a big Rat Pack fan growing up with my Ginzaloon parents. It was kind of interesting when you saw pictures of them coming out of the car. And then as a kid, you're like, what's that car?
Yeah.
What's that car?
It's out on a street in Brooklyn.
No. Oh, yeah, exactly. in the Rust Belt, you wouldn't see a dual gear. Still, the only time I ever saw a dual gear is behind a rope. I mean, I've never saw one. Like, I've never sat in one. But I could point them out. I know what they are. But have I ever touched one? No. But
no.
Fantastic looking one of those.
Which leads me to something I want to talk about. But I want to say that... if you're out there listening, you can give us a call and talk about the stuff. 516-256-9510. The teaser from the beginning of the show. If you have a dual gear or a golden Cadillac, it's time to keep your car's nose clean.
Yes.
Now, you know what I'm talking about, because we've talked about this on the show for many years.
Of course.
Yeah, and I'm nuts with this. I am absolutely nuts about this. I come out to the car – Of course, my car sits under a tree, and there's always leaves in the cowl area by the windshield wipers.
Yes.
I scoop those off. I throw them in the street. You got to get that stuff off of there. I've worked on a lot of cars at the shop where it looks like a Mazda. I've worked on a lot of cars at the shop where that area, you open the hood, and that area is just packed and packed with leaves. Now, what happens is it impedes the airflow. That's the incoming air into the car.
Right.
That works your HVAC system. But once those leaves dry out and they do get crushed and pulverized, that stuff filters down and now gets trapped in the cabin air filter.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done more than my share of cabin air filters already, in my own car included.
Oh, that yeah.
Was packed with stuff. And you can lessen that if you just clean those stupid leaves off.
All right. Speaking of cleaning it off, we're going to go to the phones and go to the fund and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. It's Tom from Massapequa.
What's up, Thomas? Hi, how Tom. Are you, sir?
Oh, good, good. I'm enjoying the show. And listen, this I really am intrigued with, occupations and occupational hazards and like little things like you talk about your hand getting tired and mm-hmm. outing, mobsters stealing liquor and things like that.
And Tom, you occupational hazards in this show go hand in hand, so you're in with good company.
Thank you. I understand that joke, and I don't really appreciate it. But that's besides the point. I'm trying to save you guys for a few minutes here, okay?
Hey,
so I think I'm a lifesaver. You may think I'm a hazard. Everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Hazard, it's okay.
You're a hazard.
But anyway, so listen, that friend, that guy, Vic, or whoever it was who outed the toll booth operator, if that guy's not dead, he's in trouble two ways now. The mobsters who stole the liquor are going to be after him because he reported them. And his bosses in the union at the toll booth stuffing rags in that hole and getting beer money. So not only was he stealing from the MTA, right, this guy, right, he was outing the mobsters. He was also probably drunk drinking that beer on the job. So this guy, if he's not in the ground already, he better go buy his plot, okay?
Tom, there's an important safety tip. Thank you.
Are you referring to the MTA, the same MTA, the money-taking agency that we all know and love?
MTA? Hey, I will say this, though. Honestly, with that toll being reversed, right now it's not going to bother the residents, I don't think, because you drive through at high speed. So I don't think they're going to have that issue anymore.
There's also another first. Now the whole New York State Thruway went to cashless tolling this week. Which is kind of cool. I've gone through that. It's kind of nice. You just run through it like 30 miles an hour. If you don't have an easy pass, they bill you. Right. So now's the time to get the fake plates on the car. You'll get the James Bond flipping plates.
Exactly. Hey, the other thing I wanted to ask you guys, if you care to elaborate it on it, then I'll hang up to give you a reprieve. I know this is an obstacle for you when I call in. But what was the difference between your Thursday audience and your Sunday audience? So I'm going to say goodbye. I'm going to listen to it on the radio. Because a guy mentioned it before that the karate – oh, I heard that thing, the karate chop guy in the shop. So that guy must have been a Thursday guy, not a Sunday guy. He was listening to your station while he worked in some shop, but his boss kept changing the channel because, while he listened to you guys
– I remember that.
It was like –
yeah.
Tough to handle. Anyway, have a great day, guys. Bye.
Thanks, Tom. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
that was pretty cool because we started doing Thursdays and had no – we had a lively, vibrant Sunday show, and Thursday came and we had crickets because nobody knew.
We started doing the show in 2006, I think, the Thursday show. But we already were doing the Sunday show from 2002. So, yeah, it was 2006, I think, we did the Thursday show. And we did it up until when?
I do 2014? I have a note about that here somewhere.
But there was a certain dichotomy between the two. This Thursday bunch was, I mean, it was kind of funny because it wasn't a continuation of the Sunday show.
No.
The Thursday show was a completely different entity. And we would like to. We should put up some of those shows on the website. Just to, there were subtleties in the two shows that were, you were able to point them out. You were able to point them out.
I do have a note. February 4th, 2016 was the last Thursday show after 8 years and 9 months.
Wow.
So 2008 or 2007, we probably started that.
Okay.
But
so
yeah,
it wasn't even close to being close.
No, no, you said 06, so it was 7. So mm-hmm. that was close. But the thing is, the Thursday show, what it did is attracted a bunch of people who couldn't call on a Sunday.
Right, right. Got a lot of working people. Let's go to the phones. See if we can catch a working person now and say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
How's it going?
Hey, Johnny. Chassis
hey, John.
In the house.
What's up?
I came up from air. I was pulling a Chris drone under the dashboard of this Firebird.
How do you do, John? How do you do it? How do? What do you do? What do you do? What's your secret? How do you get out from under the dash?
It's difficult in this car because it has. There's door bars that are attached to this roll bar.
Oh, even makes it better. More obstacles to overcome. Very nice.
Yeah, well, I can kind of use it as a grab bar to get my body sitting
right.
Up.
Right.
And then I have to spin around like I'm on that Mattel toy 50 spin
right.
and get my legs out over the bar. And
your
car is jacked up.
What's
probably about 2 feet in the air. So it's kind of like a slide on your butt downhill till you hit terra firma.
Why not just get it over with and cut the floor out of it?
No, not yet.
it's like a gymnastic.
It has to be able to roll in order to get to the body shop to have those quarter panels changed out.
That's true. Okay.
Unreal.
Yes.
But, struggling for almost 2 hours now to get this dashboard out of the car because of GM's wonderful wisdom of we're going to mix half the bolt as metric and the other half as American.
Right.
And due to age, there are certain screws that hold things together, like the box, the glove box itself. And they use that black oxide, and the screws have rotted to the point that they're neither American or metric. And
yeah.
They're actually like with a pair of vice grips and grab what's left of the head.
Yeah, they change size. The bolt deteriorates much, it changes size. Yeah, that's
yeah.
But there are,
and then there's so much interconnected stuff inside here that I have to get rid of. And I get the dashboard out, then I have to wrestle out that air conditioner.
I was going to say that car has been, both of those cars, the way you described them last week, and if you want to listen to the show, it's on motormouthradio.com when we had Chassis John as a guest. The cars are so messed with. I mean, everybody had their hands on that thing.
Oh, yeah.
How do you know if the factory did it?
Way more stock than the other one.
Oh, okay. All right.
Stuff that's in it, it still has there's no air conditioning stuff out front, but the guy didn't bother to take the unit off the firewall behind the dashboard.
Right. Right.
So that's there, but it's just so intricate. There's so many things you need to do to get to one, you know, to finish one thing. And like in order to get the kick panel off on the driver's side, you have to go out by the firewall and you have to unbolt the front part of the bracket for the emergency brake pedal.
Yeah, wow.
Then you have to remove a nut inside, and then you got to disconnect the cable. That this guy still has the cable in the car,
but that's
and he wasn't using emergency brakes just to get to the screws to take the kick panel off.
Oh my god!
And you can't get to the bottom bolt of the dashboard until the kick panel's gone.
I mean, just
you got to just follow this line of. This has to go, this has to go, this has to go. Oh, now I can finally get to where I want to go.
But that's my point. Who do you curse at? Are you cursing at the designers who designed the car? Are you cursing at the guy who owned the first guy who owned it? Are you cursing at yourself?
No, actually, you know what?
Cursing at the third guy who owned it?
I'll be honest with you. I find myself looking at this and saying, how did GM put this together?
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because you're blaming the factory.
if you don't take the gauge panel out, and then you don't take the gauge cluster out,
right,
you cannot get to the bolts that are at the top of where the dashboard meets the metal cowl.
Yeah.
You cannot get to them by laying on the floor underneath and snaking your way around everything.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm saying, how did they do this on the assembly line?
Yeah.
Where there's you know, things have to move along at a pretty rapid pace. Yet the way this car is designed, I cannot see how they physically were able to do this, you know, at a good clip.
Yeah, that's what we talked about, John. We've all seen the videos where they're swinging the engine and transmission in, doing a body drop, rear end, chassis coming up. But you never see those videos with little stuff like that, or like how they built the doors. Those are the things you want to see.
Yes.
The one thing that you do see when you look at the videos of today, modern cars, they're literally stabbing the dashboard in,
and
it's complete. With cable hanging. So they've come up with other ways to physically do that and save a boatload of time.
Oh yeah, they're all components.
It's on a hydraulic arm, and the guy just comes right in through the passenger side door.
Yeah.
And it just kind of clips in, and then they have to connect the cable.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It is.
But this
video of how they built the new Corvettes. It looks easy compared to, you know, because everything's automated and swung. You know, it's all for worker ergonomics and all, which is good. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true.
Right. It's unbelievable. This 70 to 81 technology is ridiculous.
Right.
But I'm getting through it.
Yeah.
Good.
You will.
I'm plugging along.
Good. As long as you can get out from under the dash, we're all very pleased.
Right.
Yeah. It was a little difficult, but I was starting to hyperventilate.
All right, we'll take a break and
have fun.
All right, John, thanks for the call.
I will. Bye, you guys.
Talk to you soon, John. Be safe. Bye-bye.
We are just about out of show, Chris. We only got about 3 minutes left. We're going to have to get out of here and leave Kim some breathing room to do Thunder Road. Coming up, we're going to have Steve Magnante from Junkyard Gold and from Roadkill from
Friend.
Going to book Steve in. And also, there's a fellow, Jeff Kaufman, from Silver Sport Transmissions. That's the company who bought the company that made the transmission that I bought for my Pontiac.
Oh.
They're known for their 5-speed conversions. They're all over social media.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have Jeff on to talk about. They have a new one. Of course, now they come out with the one that every generation after mine was milled and rounded a little more to fit more applications. It looks now like they finally got to the one that would fit into an A-body like I have without touching any of the floor.
Great. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well,
because you cut out a wide swath
that whole
of metal.
I had to, yeah. So, but now they have a new one. And the price point looks good, too. So we'll have Jeff on in the weeks to come. But while you're – let me just finish with this. While you're cleaning the leaves off the car to make sure that your filters are all and your airflow is good, adjust your tire pressures, because now you've lost air in your tires. When the weather temperature went down, you've lost a pound for every 10 degrees. Mm. And most cars right now are driving on low tire pressure.
I know I was until I did it this week. Yes.
With that, we're going to get out of here. Leave room for Kim. And Chris, what do we always say?
Don't follow us home and watch your front end.
Right. So if Chris Switzer, Reg Guarino, we're out of here. We'll see you next week. See ya.
See you, bye.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.